18 minutes after 10, round 16, of course, of the NRL fires up as of this Thursday. On Sunday, the St George Illawarra Dragons play Canberra, trying to solidify their spot in the top eight. And Dragons hooker Andrew McCulloch, now a 300-gamer, is on the line. Morning, Macca. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, mate. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for your time. Now, before we get into club land, I want your thoughts about State of Origin number two. How did you view it? How did you watch it? And what were your thoughts?
Yeah, obviously very disappointed in the result, obviously. But, yeah, just watching by half time, I wasn't obviously expecting it to get to that sort of scoreboard by the end. I think, you know, regards to the sin bidding, the Maroons actually defended really well and scrambled, but I think people got to realise too that 10 minutes of scrambling and hard work might have just taken its toll towards the back end of that second half. And like I spoke about, I think they missed 50-odd tackles too, so it's hard to compete in a game of origin when you're missing that many tackles, which Billy and the coaching staff will know that.
What did you then make of the sin binning of Felice Kafusi? Because it appeared as though, you know, the rules were going to sort of change for State of Origin, but the week-in, week-out NRL rules, Macca, were enforced here and Kafusi gets 6 in the bin. Do you think that was 10 in the bin, rather. Do you think that was warranted?
Yeah, it's a hard one because I knew previously there was probably, you know, I think Ashley Klein, I think it was, might have given away. There might have been 4 or 5 incidences beforehand, so it's a hard one. It's a fine line when there's so many infringements in the ruck for so long. It's kind of, he's kind of nearly got nowhere to go there with that. If didn't deserve it, probably not particularly, but it was probably all the lead-up work before that made him do that, and probably the pressure from the last game as well was sort of a bit of a indication that he needed to get that done. And look, if he does it for one side, he's got to do it for the other, and just that's where it's at, really. There's nothing he can do about it. I thought he reffed it reasonably well, considering that little glimpse, I think, which, you know, it's a hard one for him.
And you talk about fatigue, and Billy Slater spoke about this as well. Tell me then, how can you try and counter that? When you're out there on the field, you know you're a man down, and you know that it's going to hurt later on in the game because of the amount of work that you're going to do. What are the bits and pieces that you can do along the way to try and negate that fatigue factor during those 10 minutes? Try and slow the game down. Are there any tricks of the trade?
Well, I think, firstly, you know, kicking the obvious one is kicking it out. You know, if you are the chance to get a penalty, take your time kicking it out, ask a few questions to the referee. You know, just any way possible to just nullify that, maybe 20 seconds, it could be here or there, just certainly adds up over that 10 minutes. So they didn't have a real lot of ball at that time, and when they did, there was a couple of knock-ons from the outside backs that are pretty costly. And when your forwards are working so hard for you, to have those sort of backfield errors, you know, your centres, wingers, fullbacks might have come, it's just so hard for those guys to do those back-to-back efforts, which they're able to maintain for that 10 minutes, but it just, back end of the game was just too much for them. And, you know, New South Wales played really, really well as well. You can't take that away from them.
You know what it's like to play in the Origin Arena, so what do you think the chat would have been after that? It's a big loss, it levels up the series and it sends it to a decider. So from the Queensland point of view, what would Coach Slater and Captain DCE and the rest of the leadership playing group have spoken about straight away?
I think first and foremost, not lose any confidence from what they've built in that last, you know, those 2 games, I think. Making sure that they're not just because of that scoreboard that they think they need to throw everything out or what they know. Like, they certainly haven't lost their ability or anything like that. It's just come back to simple, you know, obviously completions, like I spoke about, your errors out of the backfield. You know, your forwards defending really well, not missing those tackles. And, you know, that certainly just added up. Complete contrast from the 2 games was the effort, you know, the missed tackles, little things. And, you know, there was no game plan any different. There wasn't major changes from Queensland, so I think there won't be any again, which there shouldn't be. Queensland don't do that. And deservingly so, those blokes deserve a shot at that decider, which would be, a good spot to go to in Queensland and try and get that done.
Yeah, so there's a couple of points about Game 3, and you bring up where they're going, which is Suncorp Stadium. Obviously. Now, New South Wales have only won twice, I think, a decider there in the history of Origin. So It's a tough place to win at any stage, but especially when it comes down to game three. Give me a sense, if you can, of how much of a lift a 95% Maroon crowd gives you.
Mate, yeah, just the whole thing. Not just the game. I think it's the whole week. Just something about it. I think I've got goosebumps now just thinking about just the passion the Queenslanders have. They turn out from wherever it might be to turn up for that one game that they get. Just the whole build-up, like I said, and come kick-off, like you said, there's not a seat left, and, there's a splash of blue there, which is great to see as well, but, it's just something about that stadium and what it's built on throughout the years that make it pretty special.
Now, on the New South Wales side of things, there's a selection headache, if you like, for Brad Fittler, and we've been speaking about this on this network at length, about what he does with the amount of talent that he's got around the centre pairing especially. So who worries you the most coming back in? Jack Whiten, who had a blinder in game one, Latrell Mitchell, who's delivered on the biggest stages, or the incumbents that are there that did the job in game two especially?
Yeah, it's a hard one. Look, first and foremost, I think as much as how great of a player Latrell is and, the X factor he has, he has had a big break with his hamstring on, but it also comes back to blokes that have, obviously Jack Whiten played tremendous in that game one, and those blokes won the game the next one. So I think nothing against for Latrell, but those blokes have done a really good job and deserve their spot, and they just jumped at the opportunity, and that's what happens in football in regards to injuries. And he'll be back, probably next year anyway, hopefully without any injuries. But those guys that have done that and got the result there, it's a tricky one for Brad, but Jack Whiten, I think he's got to be in there, mate. He was probably their best player in game one, and he wasn't injured. He was out with a bit of bad luck with COVID, so that's going to be pretty harsh for him to sort of miss out. In regards to those other two, they'll probably fight it out for themselves, but I can't leave Jack Whiten out after that performance in game one, and he hadn't played bad, and he wasn't injured. It was just a bit of COVID, so it's a bit unlucky if he misses out from that.
So would your issue be with Latrell, for instance, that he's a bit underdone, hasn't played since round five?
Well, I'm not underdone. I just think the guys that are there, they've sort of not hurt their spot, but they've done a really good job. Jack was nearly their best player, and then those blokes, they won the game from last week. For them to be dropped out, I think's quite harsh when you look at it. Don't you give rewards to blokes that are giving you a good result as well? I know how great a player is and his threat he might be. Like, you could see him picking him as well, which is quite easy to do, but you got to feel for those blokes that have missed out who have won the game for him as well.
All right, absolutely. Now, let's talk about you and your Dragons. Your most recent match, of course, was game number 300, mate. Game number 300. What a night it was with a big win against the Rabbitohs. How did it feel for you, and how did you celebrate that?
The whole week, the Dragons did a tremendous job in regards to, having a dinner a couple of nights before, surprisingly with my family turning up, little things like that. Boys from back in playing the Brisbane Broncos as well, surprised me. So the whole week was really good, and I was just grateful I had friends from back in Dolby come out for a couple of days and, turn out for a great weekend. And, and lastly, I think boys put on a great performance, which sort of capped off the night as well, and then celebrated with a few beers the next day. It was bloody real, really, really good, and just grateful I had a good group of friends, and the club did a great job.
When you've reflected on those 300 games, what jumps out the most? Is it the wins? Is it the behind the scenes stuff that we don't see? Is it the longevity of your career?
I think behind the scenes, I think what people see is, your Monday to Friday training and playing the weekend. They don't see the extras when you're going really well, and people don't notice those things, or they don't realise the injuries of what impact they can have on at home, especially long-term injuries in regards to the type of person you are. Might be around for your partner or whatever that might be, but then the hard work when the rest of the boys are on holidays to get back from injuries and things like that, I think just looking back and being pretty proud of to be bounced back from a few major injuries and how I did that, and just in the position. But also just the good times I've had along the way, I think that gets lost sometimes in football, is how lucky we are to play the game that we love and to do it with your mates and to get paid pretty well to do it as well.
Yeah, and you don't want to think about the bumps and bruises along the way, because you'd never get out of bed in the morning after 300 matches of bumps and bruises and the injuries that you've spoken about as well. So you're inside the top eight, a big one this Sunday against the Raiders. How are you feeling for this one against Canberra?
Yeah, we've had a session on Monday, got another one today, and just been a longer week after the break we've had and a few boys from Rep Round, so it was good to have that Sunday game and to get everyone back recovered after some pretty bruising games over the weekend. And we'll see how Benny Hunt pulls up from Origin and a few other things. But it's another tight game. They're all close, and it's quite surreal really to think there's only 2 months to go really till final. So it's every game's crucial for us, especially being in that middle log jam with a few other teams like the Raiders.
Yeah, and before that, you and me and Timmy Manor will be calling the Bulldogs and Sharks from CommBank Stadium. So from the outside looking in, what are you making of the Bulldogs' mini resurgence under Mick Potter and the Sharks at the moment?
Yeah, it's been really good, I think. Obviously, they just probably got a bit of less pressure on them at the moment. Go out there and enjoy your football, boys. And I think a lot of them are just doing that. And it's showing there with their results. They're just playing for each other, a bit more fun. And it's amazing what that can do to a lot of confidence from a lot of blokes who've had some rough times over the last couple of years. And you probably lost that feeling or that winning feeling and knowing how to win. So it'll be good to see if they can try and get that back, actually.
Good on you, Andrew. See you on Saturday. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Matty. Thanks for having me on, mate. Appreciate it.
Andrew McCulloch will be joining me at CommBank Stadium for coverage of the Bulldogs and Sharks on Saturday afternoon. We need to go straight to the news. I'll get to your texts and calls after this.